I'd like to read in the book of Numbers, chapter 2. Numbers 2 and verse 3. And for those encamping eastward toward the sun rising, there shall be the standard of the camp of Judah according to their hosts. The end of verse 9. They shall set forth first. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel, and verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and pious, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It was divinely communicated to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he should see the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and as the parents brought in the child Jesus that they might do for him according to the custom of the law, he received him into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now thou lettest thy bondman go according to thy word and peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light for revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. The same book, chapter 19, Luke 19, verse 11. But as they were listening to these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God was about to be immediately manifested. He said, therefore, a certain high-born man went to a distant country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. And having called his own 10 bondmen, he gave to them 10 minas and said to them, trade while I am coming. And lastly, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15. For this we say to you in the word of the Lord, that we, the living, who remain to the coming of the Lord, are in no way to anticipate those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with an assembling shout, with archangel's voice, and with trump of God, shall descend from heaven. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, the living who remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall be always with the Lord. So encourage one another with these words. A little while ago, I read a short article written by an aged believer, and it went something like this. He said that the landlord of the property in which he lived had given him notice to move. Over the years, the property had required maintenance, but the time had now come when it needed major repairs, and it was necessary for the tenant to move. He'd lived there a long time. The prospect of moving at first filled him with dismay, but a few times he'd been down to the borders of his new home, and the prospect of moving there was becoming more and more inviting. So much so that he was now ready to move. It wasn't a dwelling like this he was speaking about. He was speaking about moving to a heavenly home. And the Lord in his grace had just taken him once or twice down to have a look at this heavenly home. And it created in him a desire to move there. And he could say, he was ready to move. I'd like to ask us all, young and old, whether we're ready to move. I've read these scriptures with the simple desire that they might create in our hearts a longing to be with the one who loves us, the Lord Jesus. This first scripture, it speaks of the encampment of the tribe of Judah and those linked with them. And it says, and for those encamping eastward toward the sun rising. What a lovely suggestion there is in that. As we know, the children of Israel, they journeyed and they camped and they journeyed and they camped. You read the chapter later on in this book, I think it's about 33, and you get all their journeyings and all their encampments. And every time they pitched their camps, the tribe of Judah, that the camp was pitched so that they were facing eastward towards the sun rising. Where are you looking, dear brother, dear sister? Where is your tent pitched? What is your outlook? Where do your interests lie? Do they lie looking eastwards towards the sun rising? Shortly, you know, that sun's going to come up over the horizon, and our blessed Lord is going to come. Are we ready to move? Are you ready, Christian, ready? Ready for the shout, the trump, the voice? Will his coming make you tremble or cause you to rejoice? Are you ready, waiting for him, daily making him your care? Do you live so close to heaven that a breath would waft you there? Oh, dear brother, dear sister, dear young one, are you ready for this wonderful movement that's shortly to take place? It's going to be a wonderful exodus, you know. Already, Scripture tells us of a great exodus out of the land of Egypt many years ago. And there was preparation for that exodus. And the persons who moved out of Egypt in that exodus, they made preparation. And they came under the shelter of the blood of the slain lamb. That's the first step in preparation. That's the first step to make ready for this move, to come under the shelter of the blood of the slain lamb. And you know, everyone who came under the shelter of that blood moved out of Egypt. Moved out of Egypt. Judgment came on Egypt. But those who were in the households which were covered by the blood, on the lintel and the doorposts, they were ready to move. Wonderful, you know, what the blood of Christ has done, dear brethren. It's given us a basis, not for hopes here, but for hope in heaven. It's given us a basis, eventually, to move out of this scene altogether, to meet the one whom we love, our Lord and Savior. Are you ready? You know, the text, I've said it before, the text that hung on the walls of many of the early brethren was, "He may come today." I wonder if you've had an impression that he might come today. So these persons, you know, they camped, and their camp was eastwards towards the sun rising. You can just picture it, you know, especially in this lovely weather we're having, you know. The sun rising and all the prospect of the new day, what it would bring forth. What is that day going to bring forth when he comes? When the sun rises over the horizon and he himself comes, what a day. We sung of it in that last verse. What will be, what is it? It's what will the sunshine of his glory prove? What the unmingled fullness of his love? What hallelujahs will his presence raise? What but one loud eternal burst of praise? Are you ready to enter into that in actuality? And many older persons here, many younger ones. But is there that state of readiness, of just being alert, ready for the one who's going to come? I think Simeon, you know, lived in the encampment of Judah. I think his face was eastwards towards the sun rising. It says there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and pious. That's all it says about his history. Just and pious. Doesn't pinpoint his failures. This is what it says. Just and pious. From heaven's viewpoint, this was the kind of man he was.
as we read on, we find that he's ready to move, ready to move. You know, the Lord puts his hand in very suddenly. It's not only a question of being covered by the blood of Christ. That's wonderful. But my desire is that there might be a longing and a state of readiness in our lives that we are ready to move. And this old man, Simeon, you know, who in a sense links the past dispensation with this one, he's ready to move. Just look at him, you know. Awaiting the consolation of Israel, the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was divinely communicated to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he should see the Lord Christ. Wonderful, you know. Not only was Simeon a man who spoke to God, but Simeon was a man whom God spoke to. And God said to him, Simeon, you're going to see Jesus before you see death. Lovely that, you know. Lovely. And you know, what it produced in Simeon was a state of soul, state of life, that was just ready to be let go from everything here. You know, the sister that we buried yesterday in Stockport saw her some weeks ago, and it was clear in conversation with her that she was ready to move. Ready to move. In the last week of her journey here, one of the doctors asked her whether she had any fears, any anxieties, and she shook her head and she says, no, I've no fears, I've no anxieties, because Jesus has settled them all. Lovely that, you know. And she was ready to go. And she went, where? Into the presence of Christ. That was Simeon, you know. His hands, how often these hands had been lifted up. You know, how often they'd been lifted up in the presence of God. But here they are, ready to be filled. Filled with what? Filled with Jesus. Filled with Christ. You look at your hands, you know. You say, what can these hands hold? Can they hold an impression of Christ? That's what Simeon's hands held. You know, he moved as divinely communicated with by the Holy Spirit. And there comes this point, the appearance of Jesus brought in the child that they might do for him according to the custom of the law. He received them into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now thou lettest thy bondman go. A bondman, a servant to the last. We spoke of Caleb, 85 years old. Look at Simeon here. It doesn't give his age, but he's a bondman. The spirit of a bondman to the last. He says, now lettest thy bondman go. Just ponder that expression, dear brethren. We read of death in many different ways in Scripture. We read of persons dying. We read of persons departing to be with Christ. We read of persons falling asleep. But Simeon here says, let me go, Lord. Let me go. The last thread. Just cut it. The last thread. The Lord cuts that thread. And he was let go. Let go, you might say, wanting to be let go from everything here, everything that belongs to this scene. He was ready to be let go for it. To be let go for what? For that scene which God has in principle, which is just filled with Christ. So here he is, you know, and his hands are full of Christ. An old man, an old woman. Anna. One of them, I've said this before as well, Simeon, he's holding this babe in his arm and he's saying, Christ for me. That's what he's saying. And he's holding him out to Israel. He's holding him out to the Gentiles. He's saying, Christ for every man. Anna, she's saying, me for Christ. I'm for Christ. As she praises God because of the incoming of Christ. So there's these two sides. The side of the testimony, where we can stand in testimony with our hands full, full of Christ. And there's the other side, the Anna side, where it's praise inwardly to God. How are we as compared with these two old worthies of Luke's gospel? One ready, no doubt both ready, ready to go. Are we like that? Ready to move to the next encampment, the final encampment. Yes, The final encampment is almost on us. An encampment, you know, of which there'll be no going out from, but it'll be ushered into his presence there to be with him forever.
Well, I think Simeon, in one sense, represents this lie. He says, "Now thou lettest thy bondman go according to thy word." We spoke about that in the reading. According to thy word. Holding God to his word. That's faith. Faith clings to God's word and says to God, "God, you said this according to thy word." Simeon clings to that. He says, "Let me go according to thy word in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." What a salvation. We spoke of the glad tidings this afternoon. The glad tidings which is God's power to salvation. Oh, what the vision Simeon has. A light for revelation of the Gentiles. And the glory of thy people Israel. He saw it all, you know. Not only Israel brought in by the Messiah. But the Gentile, the gospel going out to the Gentiles. And you and I brought in to share the wonders of what God has prepared for those that love him. Well, let us be like Simeon on this line, ready to go. I think he would have traveled light, Simeon, you know. Traveled light. And his interest did not lie in what was going on in Jerusalem. His interest lay in another sphere. His interest lay in relation to God's word. And in the light of God's word, he was ready to move. Luke 19, I just pass over these scriptures briefly. As they were listening to these things, he added and spake a parable. I think that's lovely. This is probably in the court of Zacchaeus' house, you know. They had seen Zacchaeus touched by the Lord. They'd seen this, heard this wonderful expression, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And as they were listening to these things, he added and spoke a parable. Oh, we'd like to get just a little word of addition tonight, you know. Just that little word added that'll give us that fresh fervor to be here for Christ, waiting for that wonderful moment when he himself is going to come. And what is his word? He speaks about this high-born man who went away to receive a kingdom. And having called his own 10 bondmen, he gave to them 10 minas and said to them, "Trade while I'm coming." Or "Trade till I come." Now you see, the time that we're in is a time for trading. A time for being ready. And that readiness is seen in how our trade is doing. You'll notice in Luke's gospel that he gives each of the bondmen exactly the same. Matthew's gospel, one's given more than another, and the other's given more than the next one. But in Luke's gospel, each one's given exactly the same. You young brothers, young sisters, young boys and girls, the Lord Jesus would give you exactly the same, you know. One mina, the same as the old brother, the old sister. This is a certain standpoint I'm speaking from. And he's given you this mina in order that you might trade with it. To each has been given. To each. Not to someone has been given some great gift. That's not Luke 19. Each have been given the same in order that you might go and trade with it and bring increase for the one who is our Lord. Well, that is a test. What is our trading position, you know? What is it? How are you getting on in your trading? This mina that the Lord has given you. This measure of grace. What has it produced for him? With that little captive maid, you know. And she had a mina, you might say. And she came across one who was badly in need of help. And she pointed to her master. She pointed her master to the man who could cure him. It's like a young soul pointing a soul to Christ. I think that's the idea of trading. A Philip can go to a city of Samaria and reap a great harvest of souls. What trading? And then he can meet a eunuch on the way to Gaza. And he can secure him for God as well. Yes. How do we get on trading with what the Lord has given us?
tarried till I come. That's the light of his coming. We know he's coming. But it's the time now for trading. He's given us the capital, because you need that in any trading situation. The capital, the measure of grace according to the gift of Christ. He's given each of us that. All that is, turn it over so that it yields something in our lives and in the lives of those we come in contact with in view of his coming. And there's someone you know who gets a word from him, and he goes and succors by a word him that is weary. That's trading. Trade till I come. There's shepherding. There's evangelizing. There's teaching. There's caring. All these features are involved in the trade till I come. He's gone away. He's coming back. What is he going to find on his return? Is he going to find this mina that he gave us all wrapped up in a towel? Nothing happened to it? Or is it going to produce 10 miners or 5 miners? What is it going to produce? I think the soul that's waiting and eager and ready for the coming of Christ will ensure that that miner produces something for the master. Trade till I come. He's coming. I have very little more to say. I just read this section in Thessalonians, because the apostle draws our affections out towards the actual coming of the Lord Jesus. He's coming soon. Wonderful section this, you know. This we say to you in the word of the Lord, that we, the living who remain to the coming of the Lord, are in no way to anticipate those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with an assembling shout, with archangel's voice, the trump of God shall descend from heaven. The dead in Christ shall rise first. You know, it could happen today. It could happen today. Are you ready? I leave this word with you. Dear fellow Christian, are you ready? Ready to move? What a meeting is going to be. Meeting in the air. Yes, not beyond the air, but he comes into the air. Where the pull of the earth is. Where the pull of gravity is. Where the pull of that earth is. And yet even that will not be able to withstand the drawing power of Christ as he draws from the grave all those who've died trusting in him, drawn there by the power of his love. You think of those who have long died and those who have recently died, trusting in Christ, covered by the blood of Christ, at his voice, that mighty, powerful voice rising to meet him in the air. In the air. And we, the living, if it should be our privilege to be alive at the coming of the Lord, we, the living, who have known the influences of the earth, caught up to meet him in the air. What a triumph, you know. The one who is referred to as the ruler of authority of the air. Where is he? Where is his authority? In the presence of such power. Triumph of Christ. And not only having gone into death and met his power himself, but that full triumph scene in bringing those who have trusted in him out of death and taken those who are alive and have faith in him to be with himself forever. When we see him, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. What a prospect, what a hope. Just to have the outlook homewards, to have the outlook eastwards towards the sun rising. A new day, a wonderful day. A day of his coming that for us will usher in eternity. I know the millennium will lie beyond that, but for the believer, forever with the Lord, forever with the Lord, thus shall we be forever with the Lord, eternity, eternity's day ushered in. What a privilege. Oh, dear brethren, let our hearts burn at the prospect of it, and may we be encouraged. So encourage one another with these words. Encourage to be ready, waiting, eager for his coming. The last words of Scripture, you might say, in that chapter in Revelation, Revelation 22, that thrice repeated promise, "Behold, I come quickly." May each of us be speaking the answer, "Amen, even so. Come, Lord Jesus." May we all be encouraged and be ready for his coming. May God bless the world.